Open your Bible this morning to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 27. The book of Proverbs, I've said a number of times, is accumulated wisdom from the wisest man that ever walked the face of the planet. I didn't say that. God said that. And when God says somebody's wise, they're pretty smart. But I will say this, the book of Proverbs is also a study in futility. We know the life of Solomon. We know that with all of his learning and his wisdom and knowledge and all of the things that came with that, there ended a life of bitterness and anger. You read the book of Ecclesiastes and you have to continually remind yourself, this is the wisest man that ever lived. But in respect to that, as we get into the book of Ecclesiastes, we're hearing from someone who honestly could say, been there, done that. Whatever the pursuit of your life may be this morning, whatever goal you may have, rest assured, Solomon was there. The Bible said that in the days of Solomon's reign, that silver was accounted as the stones in the street. You talk about a financial success. Can you imagine electing a president or a congressman or somebody of that nature that would be such a tremendous individual that we would use silver to pave the roads or to fill potholes? That was Solomon. But having said all that, in the book of Ecclesiastes, he comes to the place where he says, vanity of vanity, all is vanity. He looks at his life and he does not see any glimmer of value in his life. It has just been one day following another. He writes the book of Proverbs as an example of tenets and ideas that will cause anyone to prosper. And I dare say you will never find anyone who prospers in this world that will not find a defining moment in this passage of Scripture called the Proverbs. But having said that, he's teaching it to his son. He's not just writing these things for his own benefit. He's digging down into the well of his experience, digging down into the well of his wisdom, and he's trying to give this to a younger person, to his son. Numerous times in this passage, you'll find the phrase, my son, my son, my son. He tries to help a young man incorporate some ideas that cannot fail. But like father, like son, it is one thing to have great wisdom. It is another thing to live a wise existence. Because we know that Solomon's son, at his demise, inherits the throne that his father had built. And within just an incredibly short amount of time, literally blows the kingdom to pieces. It is a study in futility. It was not what Solomon was hoping for when he took a young man and began to teach him. These are the things that will define life. In this is a verse I would like to spend time with this morning because I hope that my life, I hope that your life will not be a study in futility. You say, well, I'm doing fine now. Well, and that's true. But I want to make sure that when we end it, it's better and like it should be. One verse, you probably have heard it. You may have memorized it. If you haven't, you can memorize it this morning in just a very short amount of time. It is in the 27th chapter. It has been preached on again and again and again from pulpits all around the world. It has been preached to people just such as you and I are because it bears great importance. It says in verse number 1 of chapter 27 of the book of the Proverbs, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. As simple as that verse is, as easy to understand as those words are, how seldom do they find any place in our existence? You would probably amen this morning, great Bible verse, and boy, but most of the time we hear this verse preached, it is preached in connection with salvation. And certainly it is appropriate for that sermon. Because if you're here this morning having never trusted Christ as your Savior, you better be careful about holding back a decision that needs to be made. Because there are scores of individuals who, perhaps even as you, said, you know, one of these days I'm going to figure this thing out. I'm going to get this religion, this Bible thing down. You know, one of these days I'm going to make sure that I'm a Christian in Bible terminology rather than just in the world's recognition. Someone told me the other day, I said something about being a Christian, and they said, well, certainly I'm a Christian, you know. And what they meant was, I'm not of a Muslim persuasion. Listen, being a Christian is not just not being a Muslim. Being a Christian has parameters in the scripture. Being a Christian is defined in the book we have before us. And if I am a Christian in the eyes of my neighbors or in the eyes of my countrymen or in the eyes of history, that means absolutely nothing. The scripture defines what it is to be a Christian. Clearly, concisely, in every detail. Sometimes people have said, well, you're just so narrow-minded when you take that. Listen, if the Bible defines something, where else do we go? And I find as time rolls on, there are more and more people who define themselves as Christians whose lives are farther and farther remote from the truth of the Word of God. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. I have on occasion preached a funeral of someone who, to my knowledge, never trusted Christ as their Savior. You try as a pastor in that circumstance to be a comfort to those who have lost a loved one, to share their grief to the best of your ability. And then you preach the gospel in hopes that someone who hears you preach will trust Christ and never end up where you know of a certainty that individual in the casket has gone. You can try to stir the hearts of people to bring them to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, but so many people in this world today are well-intentioned. Their idea is there is a time somewhere here where I am going to sit down and cover this ground and explore these truths, and there is going to be a place somewhere where I sort this all out and make a choice. And sometimes while those words are on their lips or those thoughts are in their mind, they have been escorted out of this life by the death angel. And so the scripture said to those who are unsaved, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. May I simply state this morning in just generalization, there are people who put their heads on a pillow last night with every intention of waking up this morning. And like the rich man in Luke chapter 16, 15, they lift up their eyes in hell. Lost. Lost. Sad, sad, the bitter wail, the hymn says, almost but lost. Anyone who was confronted with the certainty that their death would occur within the next 24 hours would change every detail of their life. We are not foolish. If we knew that our demise was at hand, if we knew that within 24 hours of time's passage, they would be placing our body in a casket and preparing it for a funeral, we would begin right this moment and reorganize everything about our life. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Having said that, if you're here this morning and have never, for whatever reason, made sure, I like the preacher that said, you need to know that you know that you know that you're on your way to heaven. And if you don't know, if you say, well, I hope so or I think so, that's not good enough. There's a guy rejoicing, I suppose, somewhere in Ohio that won $1 million. That's what they're telling him. By the time the government's finished with him, I think he'll get around $200,000. But he's rejoicing that he had whatever that ticket was that had that ability. And he can walk into the store this afternoon and say, I came to get my money. And they can say, show me the ticket. And he can say, oh, no, I got the ticket at home. It's in safekeep. And they can say, well, I'm sorry, you're not going to get anything. And he can say, well, trust me. Listen, they want to know that they know before they give anybody any money. And you better be certain of the fact that if you're here this morning and there's some ambiguity associated with your eternal destination, you're living in a dangerous place. A dangerous place. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. But it's not in that context I want to preach it this morning. I want to preach it to those who are saved. Because the truth of the matter is, it is not just unsaved people that pilfer away the valuable time they've been given. It's Christians. We are all time wasters. And the scripture, I think, is applicable. I don't necessarily believe that Solomon was trying to bring his son to the saving knowledge of the Lord, at least not at this point. I think he's trying to teach a young man who is going to inherit an awful lot of responsibility, whose life is going to be governed by the affairs of state and the decisions that will affect not only him, but hundreds of thousands of people, to make sure he not become a time waster. He said to a young man, and I'm sure as a young man, because I remember the days when I was a young man well enough to know that your head is pretty much filled with mush. I speak with all respect to our young people here this morning. Yours are not that way. Mine was. Mush about where I'm going to go, what I'm going to do, how much fun it's going to be, how much it's going to cost, where I can get the money. All of those things were the preoccupation of life for a great span of my existence, known as teenage years and youth. We talk about growing older as being a little more sober. Well, and sometimes that's just closer to being dead. I think that folks can still enjoy life and can still laugh and can still find pleasure in their existence and can still be glad to be alive. I think all of those things are tenet that you do not lose as you get older, but you begin to recognize as you get older, you don't have as many days as you once had. And sometimes as they begin to narrow in what even would be termed as just normal thinking, you begin to recognize how many you wasted in time gone past. No one has a greater appreciation for life than one who's been diagnosed with a terminal disease. Every day becomes incredibly precious because there has been something added to life, which in reality is just reality. You say, well, that would be tragic. Wouldn't that be awful to have to live with the knowledge that you had a terminal disease? Let me help you this morning. Everybody here has a terminal disease. You say, what is it? It's the one that kills you. Okay? It could be a bus, a car. It could be taking the wrong medicine. It could be eating too much chicken. But everybody will die of something, and everybody here will die. What that should do is cause us to sober up a little bit and appreciate the term, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. I want to speak to you for a few minutes on what to do with today. What to do with today. You see, you never will do whatever it is you're dreaming of doing tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes. You never will accomplish that task that is out in the future if you don't make it through today. And having said that, what you do with today will maybe determine what you can do tomorrow. For all of us, we had those ambitions and dreams as young people about what we wanted to do in the course of our life. And many of us have created a file mentally, and we've begun to put those folders of our great aspirations in that file drawer called Ain't Gonna Happen. Simply because we recognize now that had to be done while I was young. I'm not going to accomplish some of those things simply because I've let that opportunity go by. But can I tell you when it went by, some of us think, well, you know, I went to bed one night and boy, the next morning. No, those opportunities passed us by today. Every failed ambition in life, every failed dream and goal unachieved is simply a reflection of a wasted today. You say, well, no, let me tell you what I did yesterday. You didn't do anything yesterday. Yesterday's gone. Yesterday is simply what happened in the past. You can talk about it and you can explain it and you can be happy about it, but you cannot change it. It is there. You didn't do anything yesterday. You can't do anything yesterday. Yesterday is set in stone. You say, well, let me tell you what I'm going to do tomorrow. Now that's another story, because you're in control of tomorrow. You can plan things for the future. You can put things in line that will lead you to a specific spot in life. You can have goals and dreams for the future. But I'll be honest with you, you're never going to get there unless you learn to live today. I have, for a long time, in counseling people, particularly young people, because it's just nice to be around people that are exuberant. I love the dreams of young people. Man, we got people that are going to find the magic beans and plant the beanstalk and get all the gold from the giant. They're there, and I appreciate that. But young people, when I see the way you live today, I have to be honest. You're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. I've asked young people and even young married couples, where do you see yourself in 10 years? Where do you want to be in 10 years? Where do you want your life to exist in 10 years? What kind of a home are you going to live in? What kind of an income are you going to have? What kind of a job are you going to have? And I love to listen to all of those things, but I always come back and I said, is what you're doing today making any progress? And I can't tell you how many times I've seen sometimes people drop their heads and, well, no. Well, then let me tell you something. Never going to happen. Never. Never. Why are you saying it? Because Sometimes we boast ourselves of tomorrow. Our dreams are not really dreams, they're just boasting. The idea that I'm going to live in this kind of home and I'm going to be married to this kind of person, I'm going to have this many kids and I'm going to have this amount in the bank, all that is boasting of something that probably is never going to happen. Preacher, you have no right to say that. I do based on what I see right now. Because where you are right now is the only place and the only time where those dreams can be realized. So a wise man says to a young man, boast not thyself of tomorrow. Don't say tomorrow I'm going to do this. That's what the scripture said. Tomorrow we'll go here or there and continue a day. He said you ought to say the Lord will. And that's the way we address the future is the Lord willing. And the Lord willing this will happen. And the Lord willing I'll accomplish that. And the Lord willing. I can't do anything with tomorrow. I can't even touch it. I can't hold it in my hand. There have been days I've looked at my watch and because it doesn't automatically reset, I figure I've got an extra day. Because somehow in the turning of that little thing there that tells me there are 31 days in a month when there's only 30 means I've got an extra day sometimes. But it doesn't always work that way. Matter of fact, it never works that way. You know, all of your life is lived within a 24-hour span of time. Called today. What are you doing with it? What have you done with today that are the today's that are gone by? What are you planning on doing with the days that are coming tomorrow? But more importantly, what are you going to do with today? Boast not thyself of tomorrow. And I could add to that, brag not about yesterday. Because what really matters is today. You say, well, I got up and I came to church this morning. Yeah, but most of that is routine. And I'm thankful for that routine. I am thankful that my body knows Sunday that is different from other days of the week. I'm thankful that when my body wakes up on a Sunday morning, it tells me it's Sunday morning. Now, sometimes it doesn't tell me when it's Tuesday, but it tells me when it's Sunday morning. And I know that this day is different. This day, and my mind engages, and it usually jumps right into gear. If not, I drink a cup of coffee, and then it begins to jump into gear. I'm glad that my body can be conditioned to respect the importance of certain days. And I respond to certain days differently than I do other days. But what are you going to do with it? Let me give you some pointers. Write it down. They'll help you, I think. Number one, receive it thankfully at its beginning. Receive it thankfully at its beginning. Can I help you? Most of the time, our giving of thanks to God occurs at the end of a wonderful day. I'll bet you young people have gone to bed and said, God, thank you, I got to go to Cedar Point today. Thank you, the teacher was sick and we didn't have the test. Thank you that my dad paid my insurance and I can drive the car, whatever it is. But we're always looking into the past at something that was done, and we're always looking at what I've gotten to do. I look back over the day and I say, thank you for what I've gotten to be part of today. But the truth of the matter is that's not the time to be thankful. You see, if I'm only thankful after having given an estimate of the day that is past, I'm living in yesterday. I need to be thankful for right now. Yeah, good rule of thumb. When you open your eyes in the morning, take time to praise God and thank Him, not for what happened yesterday, but for what's going to take place today. You say, why? Because that's what you're going to get to live. You can thank Him and praise Him, and you should thank and praise Him for what happened yesterday and what happened a year ago and 10 years ago. We've always got room to thank Him for the past, but we need to learn to thank Him for the now in our lives, the right now, the this moment, this day, this place where I am at this particular time. You see, we want to wait until we've lived it to see if it's something we should be thankful for. I've heard people say, "Preacher, I've had things happen to me that nobody could be thankful for." No. The guy who got up this morning and was thankful for what the Lord was going to bring into his life has already been thankful for it. And sometimes that's good, because some things may be particularly hard in this day to be thankful for. So let me be thankful before I have to endure them. I said this morning, "Lord, I want to thank You for what's going to happen through the course of this day. Because I don't know what's going to happen. And I hate to think that something would happen in the course of this day and I would say, 'This is the worst day of my life. God, what are You doing?' I don't want to get there." So I started out thanking Him and praising Him for whatever would take place today. It's much easier to praise Him for the unknown future than it is to praise Him for the miserable past. We need to receive the day that God is giving us thankful. You say, "Well, you know, you understand we are fallen creatures. I know we tend to think of ourselves as angelic, but more demonic, I think, than angelic by any stretch of the imagination. We tend to think of ourselves, you know, we've got a great..." It doesn't take me 5 minutes of thinking to realize that if people knew me, they'd make me president or a movie star or hire me to run a big company. I mean, they just don't even see me like I see me. And don't laugh at me, because you see yourself the same way. And sometimes we want to wait and see if we got what we deserve before we get thankful for it. See if the Lord sees our vast potential, and see if the Lord brings to us all those wonderful things we know we are worthy of. So I'm going to wait till tonight, and after the day is over, then we'll see. You ought to thank Him now. You ought to thank Him now that He's given the ability that you have to whatever it may be that comes, good or bad. You're alive. We need to learn to receive the day thankfully. No complaints. We sometimes tend to roll over the complaints of yesterday into today. There are people who live constantly in the shadow of the storm clouds. But the storm came and went a long time ago. They just won't let the storm clouds go. They live their life under that cloud of, "Well, preacher, you know, let me tell you what the Lord did to me about 4 years ago. Let me tell you what the Lord did to me 6 years ago. Let me tell you what I saw the Lord. I'll tell you what, I just don't." And you live your whole life when the sun could be shining, borrowing from yesterday the clouds and the darkness. We need to be a people who can say, "Lord, here's the day. Thank You for it. I don't know what's going to happen today. I don't know where my life is going to go. Good or bad has not been determined yet. But Lord, I want to thank You for the opportunity to suck air and breathe today. I want to thank You for the opportunity that I have, that something may happen today that will never happen in the course of all of my life before or not yet lived. Today may be a day to be remembered forever. And I want to thank You for it before I receive it thankfully." We want to wait till after we open the presents to see whether it was a good Christmas or not. We want to wait until we get the paycheck to see if the job's worth having or not. We need to learn to not boast ourselves of tomorrow, but to be thankful and to receive the day God gave us today. You know what the scripture said? It said all things work together for good. You know what a great promise that is if you're living today? You say, well, what does that mean? Does that mean I'm supposed to thank God if I'm going to hit a train? All things work together for good to them that love God. You say, well, I have a hard time. I know you're going to have a hard time seeing it if it happens. So maybe you ought to thank God and realize that all things work together for good before all things become reality. It sometimes is hard for me to see the good things God is accomplishing in a day. I need to receive the day. Do you recognize and understand how many people that had great plans yesterday and last week and a year ago that are gone? You know, the rich man just wanted to get out of hell for a day. That's all he wanted. There are people this morning that are dead, and if the dead could speak, they would be praying, God, give me just one day, just today is all I want. I can do the things that I wanted to get done. I can say the things that needed to be said. I can apologize and make right the wrong if I just had one day. And here we said, every one of us has today. And if we're not careful, we'll waste it. And one day will become one more day we didn't do anything. We ought to receive the day that God gives us. Why? You say, well, listen, we live in a sin-cursed world. We live in a wretched world. People say, well, preacher, it's a horrible day to raise kids. Well, but what are you going to do about that? The old Latin phrase, carpe diem, says, seize the day. Grab hold of it. Make something of it. Do something with it. And if you spend all of your time just plotting and scheming what you're going to do tomorrow, you have wasted the most important part of your life. In all your getting ready to live, don't forget to live. Receive it thankfully. Let me say, secondly, respond to it as it is. Respond to it as it is. Say, well, what in the world? Everybody respond. No. Very few people respond. Most people react. You see, because we're not prepared and we're not living and focused on the day, we tend to put ourselves in a position of react. You say, what in the world does that mean? That means when a mosquito comes in, you generally see that. You know what that is? That's a reaction. That says, ow, he's already hurt me. You know what a response is? They're going to be mosquitoes, so let me get this. Respond to the day. We so often find ourselves angry and upset over things in our life that if we had prepared for, would have posed no problem whatsoever. Did you ever get to the end of the checkout line and have them run all your groceries through and then open your purse or reach in your pocket and realize, I left my wallet at home? With that in mind, isn't it better to respond than to react? Because your reaction is going to be, oh no! We need to learn to respond. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this. I can't control the day. I can't make it fit what I want it to fit. And so I need to be prepared for as much of it as I can so I can respond. You say, what in the world does that mean? It means this. Give the day to God. Ask God's involvement. Ask him to guide you through it. You say, well, what? Does that mean I won't forget my wallet? No, but it does mean if you forget your wallet, you know that God had something to do with it. Because you asked him to direct your paths. The scripture said, in all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. All God needs sometimes is an invitation. What a great response to the day to say, God, I want you to be involved in my life. How many times have you reacted and it got you in trouble? How How many times has the guy driven too slow and you were upset and yelling and screaming and condemning him to some place we don't all want to go, and you were telling all the things about it, and then you drove by and it was somebody driving and they had tears in their eyes. Or somebody driving and you could recognize as you drove by there was a handicap. Did you ever hate yourself for reacting? Learn to respond to it, but not to react. You say, what in the world does that mean? Well, that means Romans 8:28, again, is part of that day. Paul said this, I will glory in mine infirmities. How many of you understand that is not a natural reaction? That takes pre-planning. Paul said, I will glory in mine infirmities. I will rejoice in the things. He said, I take glory. He said, I've been in prison. I've been beaten. I've been cursed. All for the cause of Christ. And I'll tell you what I do. I just decide to respond to it and give God praise and thanks for it. That takes some planning. You say, well, preacher, you know, I just think when you get there, God's going to take... Listen, I have people that honestly believe that if somebody was going to beat you up today for being a Christian, it wouldn't hurt. Okay, some of you live in too angelic a neighborhood. Now, I pray nobody accosts you today with your Christianity and impounds, but pounds is probably more appropriate. You into the ground. I hope that when that happens, it doesn't hurt. Okay? But let me give you a reality check. It's going to hurt worse than you can imagine. You can't even imagine how bad it is going to hurt. If somebody belittles you for being a Christian, you say, well, I believe God will give me grace. And I do too, but I'm just going to tell you, before that grace comes along, it's probably going to make you feel about that tall while somebody's mocking and ridiculing and making fun of you. It's never easy to go down those paths. So I need to learn to respond. What does that mean? Well, I start my day by saying, thank you, God, for the day you've given me. And I know, Lord, that I have no choice in a lot of the things that will happen today. But I'm choosing now, by your grace, that when things come that are not to my liking or not to my desire, I'm going to praise you for them right now. And I'm going to praise you for them when I get there. Prepare, prepare, prepare. What do you do? Well, preacher, what if the bottom drops out? Doesn't hurt if you're wearing a parachute. Put on your parachute and say, Lord, you know, I hope the bottom doesn't drop out today. I hope that everything goes well. But if the bottom drops out, I'm not going to go all the way to the ground. I'm going to respond. Pull the chute. We need to learn that this is a day that the Lord has made. We need to recognize that we're not to boast ourselves of tomorrow, and we need to receive this day thankfully. We need to respond to it and not react to it. You understand that Job is an incredible character in the scripture because nothing seemed to catch him off guard, even when everything caught him off guard. Now, tell me how you'd feel if somebody was waiting for you as you left the building this morning and they said, whatever, your children have all been killed. And you said, which one? All of them. And your home has burned to the ground. And all of your financial assets have been stolen. And the reports just came back and your disease is incurable and it's horribly painful. I mean, just run down that road. And you know what Job said? Said, in all this he sinned not against God. He charged God not foolishly. I submit to you that is not as much a measure of his character as it is his preparation. Because I've known good men and good women of great character. And I've seen them lose it. Job doesn't lose it. Why? I think Job got up that morning and he said, God, I don't know what's going to happen today. I don't know which way my day is going to go. I don't know, Lord, what's going to happen or not happen. I have no control over a lot of things in my life. But God, I have intended to respond to it in a godly fashion. Even when everything within me may want to curse God and die, I'm going to praise you. So when he looked at his wife and she was telling him, he said, "You speak as one of the foolish women." Now that's not something you say to your wife without great deliberation. But you know what he was saying to her? He was saying, "Listen, I settled all this morning. This is God's plan. And because it's God's plan, I'm just going to respond to this day, knowing that I am in the will of God." Listen to what he says. "He knoweth the way that I take." I haven't got a clue. "He knoweth the way that I take. And," listen, here you go. Here's his preparation. "And when I'm tried, I shall come forth as gold." "I'm going to survive this," Job said. Wait a minute. How are you going to survive? Look, you've lost everything. How could you possibly survive? "I don't know how I could possibly survive, but I know that I'm going to, because I have a God that is in charge." We need to learn to receive the day thankfully, with thanksgiving. We need to learn to respond to it with the right reactions, or not the reactions of anger at all. We need to learn to rejoice in it. Psalm 118, I quoted the verse a minute ago, said, "This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice in it and be glad." So much of our gladness and so much of our joy is false. It is stimulation. We take the drug and then we rejoice. We get the gift and then we're glad. We wait in this world for something to make us happy. And we are so seldom happy because we've relied on the world. Being thankful, being joyful is not something that is a response in the sense of, "Oh goody, they gave this to me." That is a reaction, I suppose, more appropriately. It is something that says, "You know what? I'll tell you where I am. I've been given another day. A lot of people didn't get this day. There are people that would gladly trade places with me just for the day that I have today. With all the bad, with all the good, there are people in the hospital today who would gladly trade places with any one of you for the bad day you're going to have. And I need to learn to rejoice in this day." You say, how do you rejoice in it? You see God in it. That's how you rejoice in it. I like what Paul said. I've said it for years. I heard an old country preacher years ago. "Most of my theology is country theology. I am not a polished theologian. And I just listen to old timers." And I listened to a fellow years ago, and he talked about being happy. And he said, "Happiness is at the end of a process of thought." And then he quoted the Apostle Paul, who said, "I think myself happy." And he said, "Every once in a while I get up in the morning and I am anything but happy. There is no reason for me to be happy." He said, "And I parade into the bathroom and I look into the mirror and I think, I am not happy." And he said, "The fellow looking back at me out of the mirror says, 'You don't look happy.'" And he said, "Then the Spirit of God touches me on the shoulder. And he says, 'Yeah, but if you live today, who's going to take care of your day?' And he said, 'Well, that's the Lord.' And he said, 'You know, if you were to die today, where would you be?' And he said, 'Well, I'd be in heaven.' And he said, 'If you was in heaven, who'd you be with?' He said, 'I'd be with all them other saints of God.' And he said, 'You know, I just stand there for a little while and think. And I can think myself happy." Some of us need to take that advice when it comes to rejoicing in the Lord. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let's rejoice. How do I rejoice? Look at me. Look at what I'm having to bear. Look at what I've got to go through. Look at what's going to happen today. Yeah, but think about this. He forgave you of your sins when you trusted him. He blotted them all away. And if you were to drop dead with a massive heart attack right now, the angels would escort you into heaven. And there's a place there prepared for you with your name on it. And God's waiting to give you the grand tour. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. What have you got to be upset about? That's like standing in line to get to the doctor's office and then getting there and finding out that the doctor's going home early and they've canceled your appointment. And about the time you go, oh, great, they say, but there's a bus right here leaving for Cedar Point. They'll take you with them. We'll pay. Not a bad trade-off there. Sometimes we're not a people who are thoughtful. How do you receive the day? How do you handle the day? How do you boast not thyself of tomorrow? You don't have it. You've got today. Make sure you receive it thankfully. Make sure you respond to it instead of reacting to it. Take time to rejoice in it because God is there. And then fourthly, and I close with this, respect the opportunity that it's given you. Respect the opportunity that the day has brought to you. David made the statement in Psalm 119, verse 67, looking back in his life at some things that had happened. And he says something that's almost uncharacteristic of a human being. He said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. Now, all of us can say amen to that, but none of us could say it's good that I was afflicted. Goody, 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 I broke my arm. Goody, 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 I got in a car wreck. Isn't it wonderful I got fired? Nah, we don't react like that. But David looks back and he said, you know what, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now, I'll teach others also. You know what he said? He said, God, you did some things in my life that I don't fully comprehend, and I have a hard time of appreciating them. I did thank you for them before they came to reality, and I thank you now that they're over. But Lord, now I want you to know that I see the value in what has gone before. And because I was afflicted, it's opened some doors of opportunity for me today. You realize sometimes some of the valleys you and I go through are God's way of opening doors in the future. Sometimes the things that we say, God, what are you doing? Are the things he's doing in opening a door. So that somewhere down the list, and I confess this morning, I could go back to numbers of things where I was angry and upset at God and said, God, that's not fair. You can't. And now I look back at it and I think, I'm a fool. Look at what God was doing. Sometimes you don't realize that till you get to the end of the path. But you know, if you've got enough of those paths in your life and you can say with me, boy, God does things even when I don't understand it, then why can't I take today and say, God, I've got a unique opportunity today because my life is richer than it was yesterday. It's richer than it was before I had this difficulty or I suffered or things went wrong. And you know, we like to grovel in our misery. And I'm going to tell you something right now. That's a death sentence. Our whole world today is looking for somebody to feel sorry for them. That's not what you need. What you need is to have somebody really kind of kick you in the spiritual seat of the pants. Or shake the stuffing out of you and say, grow up. You say, but nobody ever had. Listen, if God did something in your life that nobody else ever had to deal with, think of why he did it and what he can do with it in your future. I got a sneaking suspicion there'll be a lot of people standing before the Lord, poochy-lipped. Say, well, Lord, you did this to me and you did this to me and it just wasn't fair and I had to go through this and I had to put up with that. And the Lord say, shut your mouth. Let me show you why you went through that. And let me show you what I had up here for you to accomplish because of the things you had to deal with, because of the frustration. Hey, David said, before I was afflicted. Nobody wants to be afflicted. David said, my affliction opened a door of ministry for me. Paul said, boy, my problems and my sufferings have opened a door for me to glorify God. Wouldn't it be a sad thing to spend all your life poochy-lipped at God and then get to heaven and find out you had an opportunity to bring more glory to Him than anybody that you lived near? And you squandered it away, poochy-lipped and upset because the world was just unfair to you. You say, you're a preacher. You're supposed to comfort me. I'm trying. Grow up. Grow up. We ought to be a people who can handle the things that God brings to us and give Him glory and praise and recognize that I've got a unique opportunity. Rex Harrison went home to be with the Lord here about a year ago. Some of you know him, some of you don't. Rex Harrison lived a deplorable life. Was afflicted early in his youth, and I think it was, I can't remember, it was polio, one of those diseases that he had, crippled him. And all of his life he walked around with those two metal canes. He could use his legs, but he couldn't move. He had braces on both legs, and here and there he went. I've seen him have to go up a flight of stairs, and he'd sit down on the step, and he'd lift himself up and grab his crutches, and then lift himself up and grab his crutches, and he'd get up a flight of stairs that way. You say, what a horrible way. I don't know, isn't that terrible? In and out of the hospital, infections and problems all of his life finally killed him. He dealt with it all of his life and finally died. But I also remember him sitting down at a piano and taking those braces and loosening them so his legs would bend and start to play that piano and sing. And I literally have watched hundreds of people without any preaching make their way to an altar and with tears in their eyes fall down and say, God, help us. You say, what is that? That's a ministry some of you never need to worry about having. Because you're going to use your excuse to do nothing for God and waste another day. And let me help you. Tomorrow is going to be just as bad as today. Isn't that wonderful? You say, well, I came in here with all these burdens. Don't worry about it. You're going to have them tomorrow and the next day. 10 years from now, you're still going to be grieving over the same junk. And just take this under advisement. At some point, people that sympathize with you are going to laugh at you. You say, oh, not my friends. Give it time. They're going to get sick and tired of your commiserating with yourself. Or you know what? You could just say, Lord, it is what it is. You've got control in my life. You've allowed all the things that have happened, bad and good. And I can't go back and change it. And I can't even change what it'll do in my life tomorrow, but I can live today. And I have decided to follow Jesus today. And I have decided to rejoice in the day God's given me. And I have decided to be thankful for the day you've given me. And Lord, I have decided that somewhere in the course of the day today, there'll be an opportunity for me to do something with all the stuff that's happened in my past. I'm going to use it for the glory of God somehow today. And we'll just see what happens. Oh, man, you just really messed up. Because if you do that, I'll tell you what's going to happen. You're going to learn to smile again. You're going to learn to be happy again. You're going to learn to see the glory of God again in your life. Far too many people are stuck on, well, tomorrow. Tomorrow is going to be a better day. And one of these days, and one of these, I'll tell you, somewhere down the road. Or, well, I'll tell you, just here's what happened to me in the past. And, you know, God just shouldn't have done that. And God, hey, you can't go back and change tomorrow. You can't do anything about yesterday. You can't do anything about tomorrow. You got today. And here's what the Bible said. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Can I put that into Rick Sowell's version? Hey, you got today. That's all you got. Invest it wisely.